Dear brothers and sisters, it is our great honour to have today with us Bishop Don Sproxton, who will be giving us a talk. So we thank you, Bishop Don, for taking time out for what is obviously a very busy schedule and being with us today.
As I begin this little reflection this afternoon, I would like you to pray for a very special intention. At the moment, there is a consultation that's been begun by the Apostolic Nuncio in Canberra for a new Archbishop. And already the bishops of Australia have been asked to give their opinion as to who would be the appropriate bishop for the Archdiocese of Perth. And now I believe that many of the priests in the diocese have been asked to consider a candidate that they have been given, and they are to write about that candidate. So I just ask you to pray, first of all, for Archbishop Hickey, because he's well aware of what's going on, and I guess he's got a lot of mixed emotions about what's going on. You don't lead a diocese like Perth for nearly 20 years and sense that your time is finishing, and you wonder whether some of the initiatives that you have begun will continue to grow. So I'm sure there are those sorts of emotions that he has, but I know a very important and maybe central emotion is the emotion of relief. That after all these years of shouldering such a heavy burden, he is now looking at being able to lay that burden down. So pray for him, especially through today, and I'm sure in the weeks and months ahead. Pray for those priests, and pray for those lay people who in turn will also be asked to give their opinion about the candidates who will be proposed. Pray that they make a decision that is wise, but is a decision that comes out of their own prayer. Their prayerful understanding of the Archdiocese of Perth and the needs that we have today, and the very, very important ways in which the Lord will will guide the diocese into the future through the intelligence and through the wisdom, through the courage of the new Archbishop. And I pray that the Lord will bless that one who is chosen, he will have the courage to say yes and to be able to lead the diocese into the next period of time. And may I ask you to pray that the choice is not of me. I'm very sincere in this, and I pray that the one or two that I have suggested, they might be considered, and both of them are great, great bishops, and they would do a wonderful job here. So I just ask for that from you today. Pray for the Archbishop, pray in thanksgiving for his wonderful work for us, the way in which he has encourage groups like this that gathers today. One of the outstanding works that he has done, I think, is to give people a sense that the devotional life of the church is as important as any other. And the love that is generated through our devotion of Jesus and our devotion of Mary are ways in which we firstly grow in our faith, and there are ways in which we are then able to witness to our faith, because this is certainly another one of those works that's been very much in his heart over these 20 years. How are we to be equipped then to go out into the world and to be witnesses of Christ, to be witnesses of our faith? So certainly pray in thanksgiving for all that work that he's done, and pray that he will feel a sense of contentment and that he passes his burden on to someone who will be able to continue that marvellous work. I was given an option as to which topic to talk on today, and I'll stick to the topic that I've prepared. And that is, again, a reflection on the Eucharist. Here we are in the presence of the Lord, who is really present here in the Blessed Sacrament. And isn't that a beautiful feature of our church? A wonderful and a very important part of our faith, that in our churches we constantly have the presence of the Lord in this beautiful way, in the Eucharist. In the Eucharist that is reserved in the tabernacle, the fruit of the Mass that is ever present there for us, that we can come into a church and hopefully we will find in this place a place of quiet prayer, of reflection, of meditation, of prayer where we would also be asking the Lord to build within us and to make a space within us for his Spirit, to build within us that faith and to make a place in our hearts for his Holy Spirit. So it is a beautiful part of our Catholic faith. I've just come back from the ad limina visit to the Holy See. The bishops of Australia, like the other bishops of every other country, every 5 years we are invited to make a pilgrimage to the Holy See and to visit the four major basilicas, St. Peter's, St. Paul's outside the walls, St. Mary Major, and finally St. John Lateran. We then have the opportunity to meet with all the heads of the various departments of the church. So over a period of 2 weeks, a series of appointments are made for us, and we can choose which of those that we would like to visit and bring to them some of the interests that we have in the work that we do in our diocese. And then, towards the end of the visit, we each have the opportunity of meeting with the Holy Father and discussing some of those things that are really very much on our heart for the life of our diocese. While I was in Rome, I went to one of the wonderful bookshops there, and I bought this book, which you probably know. It's called Jesus of Nazareth, and it's written by Pope Benedict. And it's the second volume of a two-volume work that he has produced on Jesus. And this particular one follows through the Gospel that last week of Jesus' life, in that period we know as the Holy Week, from the entrance to Jerusalem to the resurrection. And it's quite a profound book, and the reflections that he provides for us in this book are ones that sometimes are a bit hard to penetrate, but certainly they are ones that are well worth our meditation. And he gives a whole section here on the institution of the Eucharist. He raises lots of questions around that whole understanding that we have of the Eucharist through the Gospels. He helps us to understand that there have been a number of traditions in the church that give certain emphasis to the Eucharist and to the way in which the Eucharist was instituted, even to the words that are used in the Mass, whereby the species It's one of those words that we stumble over, but the way in which we We know the bread and the wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ, the transubstantiation. One of the questions that he raises, which I think is one that we might reflect upon today, in fact there are two, because one will be one that we will be encountering every day from today with the introduction of the new missal. But the first one that which I would like to reflect on, that he brings out in this treatment of the Eucharist, is that question about if God, in the life and the times and the teachings of Jesus, if God really had the desire to save all people, why was it at the same time necessary for Jesus to have to die? In other words, why was it necessary for expiation? That is, why did God require Jesus to undergo this dreadful death on the cross? If his overall desire is to save us anyway. And in one way, you could argue, was it absolutely necessary for Jesus to have to die? If God's desire, if God's will, is to save us. God could have chosen to save us in a variety of different ways. Why was it necessary that Jesus should have to experience the death that he did? And it's quite an interesting question, because sometimes we can perhaps feel that it would be much easier to go with that idea that because God wishes all people to be saved, because God wants us to experience the fullness of life, then he will do it in his own way, and he'll do it in the privacy of each one of our hearts. And maybe there wouldn't be need then to have a church, there wouldn't be need to have sacraments. It'd be enough for us just to have this personal relationship with God. We wouldn't need all these other things in the way, if you like, or those things which are mediums through which we reach God and we have this life from God. So it is an interesting question, and one that's very challenging for us Catholics who have a church, we have the sacraments, we have all these wonderful gifts that have been given to us down through the tradition of the church and the customs and the devotion of the church. It is a challenge to all of that, really. Well, Pope Benedict gives an answer, and I suppose it's connected to what we will be saying in the Mass during the consecration. You'll notice that there will be a change. Up to today, in this parish at least, we will have said during the Eucharistic prayer, during the consecration, when the cup is consecrated, and we'll use the word something like this: the blood which will be poured out for you and for all. But what you'll find in the new translation is this: take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. What the Pope argues in this presentation is that it is true that God has this desire for us all to be saved, the whole of humanity to be saved, that everyone be given the opportunity to say yes in faith to what God reveals in our heart about himself. However, The sacraments are there for the many. Not everyone will have that access to God through the sacraments. And so he argues that it is by us translating more faithfully, I suppose, that Latin text, that this cup, in other words, this sacrifice of Christ, this Eucharist, is the way in which we experience that amazing grace of God, that he has called us to be part of that many, that portion of humanity who receive from the Lord our faith and the strength that we need to live with our faith each day through this Eucharist. So yes, even though God wants all to be saved, the actual dispensation of grace comes to us through the sacraments, but obviously comes to not all, but to many, many people down the ages. Some people will get to heaven without being part of the Catholic Church. They'll get to heaven without ever having experienced the Eucharist or ever having received Jesus in the sacrament of the Eucharist. Because God will work in their hearts in a very unique way, in a way that we perhaps will never understand, we will never see or know. But for us, the wonderful grace is that he's called us into a community of faith where we can receive these sacraments, these beautiful signs that he does love us, that he is there for us in all the aspects of our life, in those moments of joy. And you think of those many, many moments when you've come to your parish church to be part of a baptism, or to be celebrating with a couple their marriage. And the joy of that occasion is something that we participate in. And we know that the Lord is there in that joy. And that's the way in which that sacrament begins to work for us, because then we start thinking about our own baptism. We start thinking about our own commitments that we've made in our lives and the sacraments that we've received that strengthen that commitment throughout our lives. And we then begin to be able to thank God for these gifts of the sacraments. So yes, God will want many, many, many people. He wants all people to experience the fullness of life. But for us, just think of the blessedness of being called to be part of this community where we have access to these sacraments, and this Eucharist especially, which is the blood of Christ in that chalice. And that chalice is poured out for us. It's poured out for the many. For what reason? For our salvation, yes, but also so that we can then become faithful witnesses, true witnesses of faith, the faith that we bear to others. Hopefully bringing them into that group of the many who will receive the graces of these sacraments for themselves. These ways in which that movement of the Spirit that they might have already felt in their hearts and in their lives will be enhanced. And they'll be drawn to praise God as we are when we celebrate the sacraments. To thank God for our faith, and to draw from God that strength that we need to remain faithful to that faith and to be true witnesses of that faith. So we pray today that as we continue in this day of prayer to Mary, that we would be people who certainly grow in appreciation of these gifts that the Lord has laid before us so bountifully. These beautiful sacraments, the Eucharist is the prime one, of course, the gift of Christ himself. Benedict points out in his book here how very important that word "for" is in that Eucharistic narrative. The body that is given for us, for you. The blood that is poured out for you. Jesus was sent, and his mission was to be for us, to be with us, to pour out his life for us. The Eucharist itself was celebrated even before he died, and he had the ability to pour out his life, to offer his life for us, even without going to the cross. But in the cross, this expiation that he offered to his Father in heaven is the way in which that rejection of Jesus, that rejection of God, that constant saying no to the will of God in our life, how that could be properly addressed. So Jesus, in offering himself to us, in being there for us, in giving us that strength that we need in our life by giving us his own life, is then the one who enables us to grow in this faith and to be strong in our faith, to say yes and not to say no. To say yes means to say to the Lord, I accept your will in my life, as Mary did. That will unfold in a certain way. I don't know how it will unfold, but I trust that you will give me the Spirit to go with you in doing that will. These are the things that we bring to the Lord in the Mass, we bring to the Lord now in this adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Thanksgiving for our faith, thanksgiving for that strength that he offers us in the sacraments, the wonderful gift that our sacraments are to us, the way in which they show his continual desire to pour himself out for us, to offer his life for us each day. And hopefully that gives us that confidence to do his will, to open our hearts more and more to do his will each day. So I thank you for listening this afternoon. I pray that the Lord will move your hearts still to do his will in all things, to have that confidence that his strength is enough. And we pray that the Lord will give us all that confidence to do his will into the future and to be that witness of our faith, that clear witness of our faith to one another, particularly those people who are looking outside of this community for a way to know God and to live with God.